go to Luke chapter 10. Verse 20. Verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The word subject, the spirits are subject unto you. It's a word, it's a military term, hypotasso, and it means to arrange in order as a military, you know, formation. So, but the point of it is that really gives you an understanding of what subject means. They're subject unto you. It means that all this crap that so-called exorcists do is just totally, it's just by your presence they flee because of who he is in you. But anyway, that's another subject.
What about the names part?
We're getting to the names now.
Thought you might.
But rejoice because your names are written. In heaven. Names is anoma. And it's the thing that that caused all the problems. Because Adam could not have fallen unless he named the names. But here, our names are written in heaven, but not the name, not Gary or Jeff or me or Pete or anybody. Because there's a new name that no man knoweth, is what he says. So, okay? And heaven is just Oranos. It just means that which is highest in rank. So,
see, this is a lot of people stumble at this sentence.
They what?
A lot of people stumble at this sentence.
Well, of course. A lot of people stumble at everything. But he says clearly, he has a new. We have a new name that no man knows. All right, verse 21. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now, thank is an interesting word. It's exologio. It's where we get confession is homologio. This is exologio. And exologio is it's a profusion of confession, if you will. So Christ is exalting the Father here. It's exologio means out of confession, out of complete understanding. So that's what he wishes for us. But let's look at what this same thing is said in Matthew 11. Let's go there and see what it's. Verse 25, Matthew 11. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That's kind of important and kind of mysterious. No man knoweth the Son, because you can't know him and live. And no man knoweth the Father, except the whosoever the Son will reveal. So anyway, we're talking about wise and prudent and all that stuff. So that's a good one.
Name is wise and fruitful.
Huh?
Prudent.
Wise and prudent. Let's go back to Luke. But first, we're going to talk about hid. It's apocrypto. Means from that, it's from that which is hidden.
What was the English word? Apocrypto. Is
that's the Greek word. It's thou hast hid. Those three words are apocrypto.
Okay.
And we get the word cryptology and all the words about secrecy. We think that the mystery of Christ is, I mean, the church thinks that it's got it down pat. But let's look at something. Let's look at Ephesians 3. We're talking about hid here. I don't want you to forget what we're studying. As some are wont to do periodically. All right, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto us, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. From the beginning has been hid. Let's go to Colossians and see what Colossians says there about it. Colossians chapter 1. So it says just about the same thing. Starting verse 23. If you continue in the faith, now we need to set up further. Let's start in verse 13. Verse 12. If you're taking notes, I'm sorry. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us and transfigured us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the Son of his love. Now, it's past tense. We've already been transfigured.
That's how he's made us meet to be partakers.
It's already happened. If you're part of it, it's already done. If you're not part of it, that's already done too. So anyway. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, for his purpose. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind or lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this gives us a further explanation of the mystery that's been hid from all generations, including this one. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is the word for Messiah. So it says Messiah in you, the hope of glory. If Messiah is in you, then it's all finished. If he's not, you've got more work to do than you've ever dreamed of. But how many people preach that Christ is in you? How many preach that the only way he's revealed is by your death? That's the mystery that's been hid from all generations, including this one. And that's sad.
Yeah.
So many people, the commonplace now. Let's go to 2 Timothy real quick. Well, you will see him.
Well,
but this time he'll be coming in the clouds for his bride, and we'll all see him.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm talking about.
No, I know. I'm just busting you.
As you are
wont. Well, would I? I don't know. I would never bust anybody. Shun, verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Shun stupid talking. Shun me picking on people.
Shun
profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a cancer or canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Tell me, find me a church that isn't preaching that the resurrection is past already. We have fallen so far from his mystery. What's funny is I've talked to hundreds of people about this. I'm sitting there talking to them, and I show them that scripture. Let's say that concerning their word is eating as a cancer, because they're preaching the resurrection is past already, and they're overthrowing the faith of God's people. And they have no idea what I'm talking about. Think about where would you be if you thought the resurrection was past already?
I'd be behaving more.
No, you'd be acting like you were behaving. You would be going and, all right, everybody turn around and tell somebody you love them. Stand up and shake three people's hands.
What I see in people that are in that place are they preach a good little gospel and they talk about it right and they have a few little behavioral things that they abide by, but then they kind of turn from that and do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, they turn from it and say, this is what you do. This is how you do it. But the point of it is, my question to you is, find me a church that isn't preaching the resurrection is past already.
Yeah.
That will give you an indication of how far we've fallen from grace.
Okay.
The mystery that has been hid from all generations. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Go away, Pete. We're
all
kicking
right.
You out.
See ya.
Bye. That's all right. Chapter 13. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Now, do you understand why the repentance of the world is what's going on? What appears to be repentance, because the repentance of the world, the best they can say is, I am sorry. Because what if you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you, you can never abandon yourself, because you'll always have to take thought for self, because there's no one there. If you abandon yourself, then there's no one there, because they preach the resurrection is past already. Now, I don't care about what they're doing. I care that you know this, and not just so you know it, that you live it. See, the reason I like the Wednesday night preaching or teaching is because just about everybody in there is like Gary. They always want to, if they don't say anything, if they see something or if I say something that they don't understand, boom! And then we get into, then we have these incredible, it's just great.
That's where it's at.
Because preaching is not supposed to, teaching especially, is not supposed to be a monologue. It's a dialogue. But it is what it is. That's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. So the mystery has been hid. And that's what we have established. Everybody understand, first of all, what the mystery is? And second of all, do you know, can you see with everything in you how hidden it is from the world and from the modern religion? And that's so sad. Because
it's like you're saying, you confront preachers and say blah blah blah, and they just don't have the gears.
That's the thing that I used to do. I would ask. I had most of every person you can think of that was well known. I had one there that was a believer, and a lot of unbelievers too, but. You know, and I'd ask them what the gospel was. And they'd come up with some. Just about everybody had a different answer.
Yeah.
That's it just was crazy to me. You know, and then I'd say, there's God, you know. Are you sure God loves you? Yeah, he loves the world. Well, if he loves the world so much, why are all those innocent babies dying of starvation? Well, that's Satan. So that means that Satan's more powerful than God. No. But they can.
Somebody said.
So it's.
I remember when you first talked about that.
Huh?
I remember when you first talked about that, I was pretty impressed by the fact that the gospel is hidden. And people kind of think they know what it is, but then when they're confronted and have to say it, you know, well, I think it's this. I think it's that.
I'm dead. He lives. That's the gospel.
Yeah, pretty simple.
And even the few that I know of that preach the same thing, they don't preach the mystery of the bride, the cohesion of the body. It's all, you know, what's going on with you.
Yeah.
But again, as I've said so often lately, that this doesn't mean they're not saved. It means that's they're called to be a different part of the bride. And there's no one part of the bride better than any other part of the bride. So we can't take any pride in all this. Because there's nothing that we have that we didn't receive.
Didn't Jesus address that when we first started talking? I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things.
The wise and the prudent.